I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, I want to read verses 15 and 16. Which says, "By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." I think we need to be reminded that our lives should be lived as sacrificial lives. There are many ways that we can live sacrificially before the Lord. And here are just a few of the examples that we can do. The sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. The giving of thanks to His name. Doing good. To communicate. Communication here is not just talking. This is putting feet to your talk. It has to do with ministry to others. And we're not to forget that. And if you want to please God, these sacrifices will do it. We read last Sunday, or we studied last Sunday, that in verse 12 of Hebrews 13, it says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ allows us to be sanctified or separated unto good works. And one of the good works that we can do is the work of sacrifice, sacrificing. In fact, in Leviticus 8:30, it tells us that Moses took of the anointing oil and of the blood which was upon the altar and sprinkled it upon Aaron and upon his garments and upon his sons, and upon his son's garments with him, and sanctified Aaron and his garments and his sons and his son's garments with him. Why were they sanctified? They were the priestly ministry, or they were the priest of God, and they were sanctified for the ministry of offering sacrifices. So we need to be reminded of the fact that the priests needed to be separated for ministry, and the ministry had to do with sacrifices. In Hebrews 10:11 it says, "Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." The thing that I want to draw your attention to is that the priests offer sacrifices. And we need to realize the fact that you and I are priests. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar or a purchased people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." This verse tells us that we are priests. And what sacrifices do we offer? And we read those sacrifices in verses 15 and 16 of Hebrews 13. And those sacrifices have to do with praise unto Him who hath called us out of darkness. And also in 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, it says, "Ye are living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." So as priests, we are to offer sacrifices. And these sacrifices have to do with ministry to the Lord, that is, praising Him, and ministry to each other. These are spiritual sacrifices that we can offer. Psalms 51, verse 17, it says, "The sacrifices of God or a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. When we think about the sacrifices of God being a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, the context of this passage of Scripture has to do with confession of David's sin with Bathsheba and a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart have to do with confession of sin. In Psalms 51, verses 2 through 4, David prayed, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." The Lord accepts a broken spirit and a contrite heart because it brings forth confession. And what does confession bring forth? Sanctification. Cleanliness. Being cleansed by the forgiving Spirit of our Lord. And so the Lord is well pleased with that kind of an attitude. Proverbs tells us the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. If you're living in sin and you're trying to offer the sacrifices of praise, what is it? The Lord doesn't like it. Abomination doesn't sound like a very, very sweet term, does it? Or an endearing term. He revolts against people praising Him and you living in sin, rebelling against Him. Now, confession of sin takes care of that problem. And not only confession, but also the forsaking of sin as well. Now, back in Hebrews 13 and verse 15, he says, "Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." The psalmist said, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." You know, we can be walking down the street offering sacrifices. In the privacy of your own closet, we can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We can sing unto Him. And our heart needs to be fixed. We need to have a purpose in our lives to praise Him and to give thanks unto Him. I'm just thinking about Psalm 107 when it says, "Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing." Part of the sacrifices is giving thanks and declaring His works with rejoicing. You know, sacrificing has to do with recall. When we are recalling and declaring the works with rejoicing, we are thinking about the things that He has done. And this causes praise and thanksgiving from our hearts and rejoicing. I was thinking about Paul and Silas in jail, locked in stocks, been beaten without being Romans. They'd been beaten without a trial, and that was wrong. And yet, at midnight, it says in Acts 16:25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They weren't in church to do that. In fact, this is the only duet in the Bible, if you want to call it a duet. They didn't have quartets maybe back in those days, but anyway, here's a duet. Paul and Silas singing and rejoicing in the Lord. In Psalms chapter 40, verse 3, it says, "He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord." You know, when you're in a miry pit, when you are stuck and you can't get out and things have got you where you can't move and you want to be delivered from a situation, you know, People will know that. But you know what? When you start singing and praising the Lord, people are going to take note of the fact that, hey, here's a fellow that is struggling. He's in the miry clay. He's in the pit. He's waiting upon God, and he is singing. You know what? They will take note of that, and they will fear, and they too will trust the Lord. If you're struggling and you have difficulties, and just simply your singing and praising the Lord will cause others to be encouraged as well. So, now, to be able to think upon the things that the Lord has done and to praise Him for the things and trust Him for circumstances and situations, it takes the Word of Christ dwelling in us to do that. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Singing with grace has to do with peace. Singing with peace in your hearts. When I think about the offering of the sacrifice of praise, it takes a knowledge of the Word of God to do that. It takes Bible study to properly praise the Lord. Because if the Word of Christ is dwelling in you richly, that means you've studied something about the Word of Christ. You have not only been studying the Word of God, but maybe you have been memorizing the Word of God. I think memorization of the Word of God is very helpful when it comes to praising the Lord and producing the fruit of our lips, which would be the sacrifice of praise. And what are we doing? We're teaching and admonishing not only ourselves, but one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So there is a place for the hymns, the psalms, the spiritual songs that encourage other people to trust the Lord, seeing that you have peace and strength in your own life. We find this also in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." I think that oftentimes we forget that it's not the memorization of the verses of a hymn or a song, which may not necessarily be true. In fact, we just sang one this morning that wasn't true. And I don't know whether you caught it or not. It talks about when you pray, you will not be denied. Well, that's not true. Every one of us have prayed and have been denied. So it takes the Word of God to help us to know what verses are correct and what verses are not. Of course, experience helps us with that. Now, in Psalms 150, we have a doxology at the end of the Psalms. And it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him in His mighty, for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbal. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Well, we don't have high-sounding cymbals. We do have an organ, but we don't have someone to play it. We don't have tambourine. And we're not, we don't have any stringed instruments here. I think what this verse is telling us, or what it's saying to me, we're to praise the Lord and not to have a performance. Today we are involved in performance. We have people who stand in front and perform. The emphasis is on the performance and not on the praise. The emphasis is on the emotions and not upon the words of the praise. When we look at the New Testament, we do not see these instruments being used. And the thing that I want to be careful in what I'm saying here is you don't need the musical instruments to praise the Lord. Paul and Silas did not have the high-sounding cymbals in where they were in prison. You can praise the Lord without all the things that go with that people are using to do it. I appreciate Sue in playing the piano. It helps us sing in tune, you know, in key, and that's great. And we need that. I need that. And so they are useful and they are profitable. And I'm not putting down musical instruments, but I do not believe in performing or having some performers. I was just thinking about this morning. I wonder how we could move, what it would be like if we moved the piano in the back so that we wouldn't see Sue performing. Yeah, that's all right with her. Right, that's good. Well, you know, I think there's a place for that possibly, okay? Anyway, I just want to, I notice that people that are into the music, if they're going, they got to have a tape machine or a CD player to be able to praise the Lord. At least that's the experience that I've had with people who are emphasizing the music. And by the way, this has to do with the temple, the earthly, and it talks about the heavenly sanctuary here. In Psalms 102, verse 19, it says, "For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven did the Lord behold the earth." This is not a sanctuary, by the way. This is not the sanctuary. This is a place where we come to meet. And so we're not talking about this sanctuary here. We're talking about the heavenly sanctuary. In fact, in Hebrews 8:2, it says, "A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man." Here in Psalms 50, we're talking about the tabernacle or the temple that was erected by man. And where do we worship? We are actually worshiping in the sanctuary, in the heavenlies, in the heavenly tabernacle. Another area of sacrifice has to do with our bodies. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, that is, clean, acceptable unto God, that is, by His grace, by faith, which is our reasonable service." Often we present our bodies as a worn-out sacrifice. We need to serve the Lord when we're young, not when we're old. We need to bear the burden of our walk with the Lord when we're young people. That's what Lamentations tells us to do. But we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And that is, when we crawl upon the altar to be sacrificed, we don't crawl down or crawl off the altar. In other words, we are submitting ourselves completely to the Lord, because that's what a sacrifice is. It's total commitment and submission to the Lord. And the only way that we can do that is by being transformed. Not conforming to the world, which says, if it feels good, do it. Get all the gusto you can get. Look out for number one. This is the world's plan and purpose. And we are exhorted not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And how does that take place? By the renewing of your mind. Think differently. This is the reason why the Word of God is so important in your thinking and in your heart. Another sacrifice is the sacrifice of giving. Now, Ye Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 through 19. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, no man communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. In other words, the church at Philippi communicated. They ministered to Paul's physical needs. No other church did at that time, but Paul, the Philippians did send to Paul. He says, "For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, receiving of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Giving is a sacrifice. If it's given in a sacrificial way, and it's well-pleasing, and you know what? It perfumes heaven. I put in a new filter in the furnace on Friday, and I got out a little spray, deodorant spray, and squirted it in the furnace. So what did I do? I perfumed the house. So squirted it in the furnace, and I went upstairs, and sure enough, it was everywhere. And ministering and giving provides a sweet-smelling odor in heavenly places. And it says, Paul turns around and reminds them that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. You minister to other people, God's not going to forget that. And that's a sacrifice that He will remember, and He will also provide your needs and my needs as well. Then another sacrifice has to do with doing good. And to communicate, forget not, with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Hebrews 13:16. What does it mean to communicate? It has to do with fellowship. In fact, it is translated fellowship in Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. I think the order of these things is significant. What comes first? Doctrine. Teaching. What is second? It has to do with fellowship. Communicating. Being aware of other people's needs. And reaching out to them in those needs. And then, breaking of bread. I think it has to do with this table right here. Breaking of bread is remembering what the Lord did for us. And the last on the list is prayer. It's amazing. You'd think prayer would be first, but it's last on this list. Not to diminish the significance of prayer, because the Word of God, or Jesus, taught His disciples that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If you quit praying, you're on the border and are near fainting or quitting. So, what did Paul tell Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:17? It says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." I think when we think about what we make, I was reading a book that I got in the mail this weekend on Afghanistan. The people in Afghanistan, their monthly wages or monthly income is what we often make in 1 hour of work. Their total income for the month is what we make in an hour. And I'm not talking about high-paying jobs. I'm talking about these people are making like $5, $6, $7, maybe $10 a month. So we're not talking about we're being We're not talking about having a lot of money, okay? We're just talking about having plenty, having more than enough. And it says, charge them that be rich or have more than enough to not be high-minded. In other words, not think of ourselves too much, but we need to look at other people's needs. And it says here, verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. That has to do with the coming kingdom. That they may lay hold on life for the age. This is not talking about buying your salvation. This is talking about laying hold on an inheritance in the kingdom of the heavens. That's what eternal life is. If you think eternal life is salvation, the Word of God teaches you can work for it. And you cannot work for salvation, but you can labor that you might have rewards and that you might rule and reign in His coming kingdom. That's what this verse is talking about. If you've got plenty of money, if you're rich, the Lord says, hey, look, you need to be busy about doing things that are good, and that you need to be giving to people who have need. In other words, you need to be aware of people. You need to have fellowship with them, know what their needs are, and to minister to those needs when other people don't know it. Because if you do it where people don't know it, then the Lord's going to take care of you openly when it's time. So, what does it mean to be doing good? Well, I felt like Matthew 25, verses 34 through 36 gives us a good example of doing good. Then the king said unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. Receive eternal life, or receive age-lasting life, which is to do with His kingdom, prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. Is that doing good? It sure is. He says, I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. These are things that are doing good. And you know what? When you're doing good to people like this, you know who you're doing good to? Tells us that in Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. And the king answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. What brethren? The brethren that have been hungry, the brethren that have been thirsty, the brethren that have been out on the street, the brethren that are naked, brethren that are in prison. He says, when you've done it unto my brethren, you've done it unto me. You've ministered to the Lord. Now, when we're talking about brethren, I guess I need to define this a little bit. A brother is one who is seeking to do the will of the Father. A brother is one who is seeking to enter the kingdom. Because the Word of God is very clear that if a brother doesn't work, you know what happens? He doesn't eat. Because God wants all of us to work and earn a living. Now, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. You want the Lord to remember something about you? You minister to the saints. You minister to the brethren. Because when you do, the devil doesn't like it, and he's going to oppose you, and you're going to have problems that go with that. But let me tell you, the Lord's not going to forget it. So, Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, If there be any virtue or if there be any praise, think on these things. And we can praise the Lord and think on these things and be aware of the sacrifices that we can offer to the Lord being priest. May the Lord help us to be aware of the sacrifices that we can offer to the Lord, and may we not forget to do it. Father, I just pray that You would help us to praise Thee in a way that would honor and glorify Thee. We just thank You that we can praise Thee with the fruit of our lips, that we can offer the sacrifices of doing good and communicating with those in need. We just thank You for that. And we pray that You'd bless the message to each of our hearts this morning, that we might go on our way praising the Lord, even as the Ethiopian eunuch did when he met Philip in the way. These things we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.